Well, Stephen, introduce yourself briefly, and then we'll get to the business at hand.
Okay. Well, my name is Stephen Lees, and I work at Microsoft, and I've worked in DevTools for a long time, but since earlier this year, I've been working on something called the CSA Concept Development Team here, which is a small group of folks run by Jack Ozzie. And we work for Ray, basically, for Ray Ozzie, doing kind of interesting projects. And
the first of those that I heard about was Live Clipboard, which
yes.
I had high hopes for, but whatever happened to Live Clipboard?
I actually still have high hopes for Live Clipboard. That's something else that I have kind of been tackling a little bit.
Okay.
Live Clipboard is still super interesting for basically, you know, doing kind of structured data exchange, either from a website to website or website to desktop or desktop to web.
Exactly. I mean, it was the combination of those three things that I thought was killer.
Yeah. No, it's still a great technology. It's one of those things where, you know, I think it's an awesome idea, and it maybe needs a little bit more encouragement for various folks to actually kind of get going with it. But,
yeah.
You know, so I've mostly been focusing on just kind of wrapping up or calling FeedSync now.
Yes.
But I have been having conversations with teams here about Live Clipboard as well, and definitely I think it's interesting for the world at large, too.
Good. Well, I'm glad it's still on the radar screen.
Yeah. Anyway, so hopefully, you know, in another few months we can have that conversation.
I would enjoy that. So in any case,
yeah.
We're here now to discuss what was SSE, Simple Sharing Extensions, and which has now this week been rebranded as FeedSync. And
that's right.
So for people who may not have been familiar well with the original SSE, which was about synchronizing RSS and also Atom feeds in a really complete and robust way. Maybe you can fill in a little of the background, and then we can get into what has happened this week, why it's been rebranded, and what has changed in the specification, and what's going on with the technology.
Sounds good. I'll try to tackle all those in order.
Okay. All right.
So basically, I mean, the thing that we started as SSE was something that Ray kicked off on his blog a couple of years ago, and it was really based on the observation that, you know, feeds were just really kind of taking over the web, and that, you know, it's a great way for people to exchange data. Basically, there's just more and more stuff is being published as feeds.
Mm-hmm.
And so the idea was that with a little bit of extra info in that feed, we could use it as the basis, you know, basically for two-way synchronization, so that you could actually, you know, use that feed and have a conversation between different endpoints, whether that's two services or a service and a client or whatever needs to talk to actually sort of reliably exchange data.
Mm-hmm.
And so that is particularly interesting because, you know, obviously Wright spends a lot of his time thinking about building out what we call software plus services. And it's really the idea that I think is getting a lot more familiar to people that, you know, basically you want to really be able to combine the best of the online and the offline experience on whatever device people happen to be using at the time, whether it's a desktop, laptop, phone, you know, TV, mm-hmm. whatever.
Yeah, I actually heard a really nice example of that from Ted Okada in Microsoft Humanitarian Systems, who was describing to me a use of SSE from Access, actually, and using it out in the field to achieve synchronization between, you know, two different endpoints, which were Access databases.
That's right.
Yeah, yeah. So, in the time since it emerged, what other kinds of uses have you seen, and maybe how did those lead you to this reformulation that we have now?
So what we've definitely, you know, Ted's team has actually been one of the, you know, big kind of boosts for us because they've been willing to kind of take the leading or bleeding edge and actually deploy this in pretty working examples. So, you know, what we introduced it was just try to refine it and, you know, kind of improve the specification. We added Atom, I guess, earlier this year.
Mm-hmm.
And so the Ted's team actually just came back from another kind of pilot where they were able to take what was the SSE 0.93 spec and deploy it. I think that was the access-to-access sync example that you were talking about.
Yeah.
So it's been Ted's team is the Microsoft Humanitarian Systems team, and so they work a lot with sort of government and NGO and kind of in that public sector. And so FeedSync is really interesting for them because it gives them a way to basically kind of expose their data or publish their data for synchronization, but in a way that's completely accessible to anybody who wants to come and get it. So mm-hmm. it's this very, you know, easily accessible, readable format, and that's a huge thing, you know, especially for that sector, because you just never know which agency or organization or whoever is going to need to kind of interact with you.
Yeah. Now, I do need to ask at this point, when I first read the spec and the narrative that was associated with it, I thought, well, you know, yes, this is actually a simple readable format in some sense, but in another sense, I mean, it's always been the case with RSS, you know, that you could, and everybody did, kind of on the back of an envelope, just kind of whip up RSS feeds by hand, right? Because it was really dirt simple to just, you know, write title and link and description, you know, yep. using any tool at all, right? But with this stuff, really, there's there's an algorithmic behavior, you know, associated with doing the merge, right? And so there's this actually fairly complicated protocol that you have to perform in order to do the sync. And so, you know, I guess what I'm saying is there's more to it really here than a format. There's this behavior which needs to be implemented, and that sort of leads to the question of, you know, for widespread adoption and for most people, are there going to need to be implementations, you know, packaged implementations of the synchronization logic? You know, people aren't kind of constantly trying to reinvent that themselves, because, you know, I would get it wrong if I tried to do it. I know I would.
it's one of those things, you know, when you read this back, I think we tried to be very, very prescriptive, obviously, because it's a specification. I think it ends up looking maybe a little less straightforward than it really is, you know, like we're able to sit everybody down in front of a whiteboard. You know, it actually becomes fairly straightforward. But I would say that, you know, I think in the same way that most people, you know, initially people did cook up RSS feeds by hand, but typically now people just rely on software to do it for them.
Mm-hmm.
I expect to see that happening here too, but I think the implementation is actually really pretty straightforward. And the one that we actually did first was just in JavaScript. And so if you look on the feedsync.org website, we've got a link to that JavaScript tutorial, and it basically shows you how to do all the stuff you need to do to a feed for FeedSync in not that much JavaScript code.
Mm-hmm. Do we have, or will we have a .NET library implementation of it as well?
We actually do have that posted. Okay. Again, if you look on our site, we have a link to a CodePlex project that has VB and C# versions of a kind of a simple example that's talking to our service.
Oh, okay. There you go. All right. Good. So, what has changed in 1.1? I mean, I looked at it and it seemed, I mean, I didn't compare, I didn't diff the specs,
yeah.
but it looked, you know, very familiar to what I had remembered. So what were the changes and what motivated the changes?
That's a good thing. I think that familiarity, I mean, basically it's been sort of an evolutionary process. So the changes from the 1.0 spec over the previous versions, mostly, you know, we have been discussing it on this discussion list called FeedTech, and we just got good input from folks outside Microsoft just about various kind of, you know, things that need to be clarified or just little tweaks that we could make to improve things. So, you know, an example from the original version that we published is we changed the date format from RFC, I think, 822 to 3339.
Mm-hmm.
Fairly, you know, smallish things like that. Like I said, we did add Atom. We made, you know, with some discussion from an internal team here, we made some tweaks to the way that the merge algorithm works. But fundamentally, you know, if you looked at the original thing that we published, it's not massively different. I think it just benefits from, you know, the time that we've spent actually trying to implement it,
mm-hmm.
and benefiting from the knowledge we've gotten both from feedback from the internet community and also from the MHS team that's actually been using it in practice.
So the renaming and rebranding is just to sort of raise awareness and draw attention to the thing?
Kind of. It's, you know, the fact that we turned it 1.0, I think, was just a recognition of the fact that we felt like it's really, you know, ready for people to go and actually build real-world applications on top of it, because we've had some success doing that ourselves. The name change, yeah, it was partly, you know, just that it's kind of ironic to have something that is simple that has this long name that's a little tricky for people to get right. And so
mm-hmm.
we just thought it would be a slightly friendlier, simpler name. And, you know, if it turns up in, you know, a UI properties dialog somewhere, it's a little easier to fit in there.
Right. How would you characterize the range of use cases for this?
you know, when I talk to people about it, I think there's really two general categories of scenarios. The one, FeedSync is really designed to handle the most complicated synchronization scenarios. So,
including multi-way.
It handles, exactly. So on the one hand, there's basically the multi-master sync, where you have some reasonable collection of, you know, services and clients that are all potentially talking to each other. And FeedSync, you know, handles that really wide open case, just great. It was completely, you know, designed to be powerful enough for the most complicated sync cases.
Mm-hmm.
There's sort of a subset of those that are probably more common that are a little more client-servery, but still just sort of benefit from the capability. And then, of course, they can be expanded when you want to.
Right.
And that's, I often think of that, you know, that's a lot of the common cases there, I think, will be for people's personal data. It's not so much that you're doing synchronization of, you know, your stuff to somebody else, but it's more keeping your personal information in sync across your services and devices. So if you have things like, we often talk about, you know, calendar and contact information and things like favorites.
So I guess one thing that's implicit here, a little bit different, well, actually a lot different to how RSS ordinarily gets used, is that RSS doesn't really expect the endpoint to have a memory, right, of everything that it has seen. But you kind of, in a sense, do expect that if what you're doing is, you know, syncing a contact list or calendar or data, right?
Right. I think that's actually a great distinction to draw. You know, when I think about, a lot of people ask the question of, so I can kind of do sync with RSS or with Atom already, you know, and so what does this bring to the table? I think the real difference is that RSS and even Atom generally, you know, you think about it more as a notification mechanism.
Mm-hmm.
You know, somebody puts something on a server,
mm-hmm.
and clients can go look at that and say, oh, there's something new here. But it's not designed to be a synchronization mechanism. And so that's, you know, what you described is exactly how we think of it. This is, you know, with RSS or Atom plus FeedSync, then you can actually use feeds for synchronization. So if you have a collection of stuff somewhere and you want to make sure that that exact collection of stuff is replicated in other places, then that's what FeedSync really handles well.
Which also implies that in a number of cases, these feeds are going to be getting really big if they're going to be representing the complete set of things, right?
Exactly. I mean, they definitely, there's no reason why they couldn't be. It depends on how big your set of things is. Again, we think in terms of kind of a lot of the good scenarios are around sort of human scale information.
Yeah.
So even the person with the most contacts, you could have 5,000 contacts. You know, and on the scale of things that go across the internet, it's really not that big.
Yeah, and you know, we're getting more bandwidth all the time. So the way to think about this is that this packet, if you will, of XML that gets traded back and forth is really a record of the complete set of interactions among all endpoints relative to a potentially growing or shrinking set of items, right?
Exactly. Yep. And the shrinking part is important too, because one of the things that feeds don't really allow you to do today is to reliably say, hey, this thing is deleted. You know, if you treat the feed as a complete thing all the time and you always get the complete feed, then you could do a diff and figure out, okay, these things are gone.
Mm-hmm.
But because we have a way of tombstoning items, you can actually just transmit just the, you know, set of changes and deletions come along with that. And I think it's also important to realize that we definitely, you know, we don't think of people synchronizing their entire data set completely every time something changes. One of the big benefits, we've actually taken two approaches to that. One of them is that in the spec in general, we've been protocol agnostic. So you can use, you know, USB keys, Sneakernet,
mm-hmm.
you know, transcription,
mm-hmm.
whatever mechanism you want to get the data from place to place.
Mm-hmm.
And we have elements in the spec that will allow you to still do efficient incremental sync. But we've also always intended to take advantage of mechanisms that are in place on the internet, like HTTP, entity tags, e-tags.
Mm-hmm.
So you can do much more efficient incremental sync on your data set. So typically the feed that's passing across the wire is just a delta of the changes since your last sync.
And how does that determination get made? Like, do you use an e-tag to, you know, it's like if I haven't seen it before, you'll give me the full thing, and if I have, you'll give me the delta?
Pretty much, yeah. If you're doing point-to-point, so if you have a client that's talking to a particular server,
yeah.
then, you know, the client comes in the first time and the server it doesn't have any tag from the server, and so it just needs to go and get the complete data set. And there's obviously ways you can use paging and things to kind of still make that a more granular conversation. But then at some point, the client is actually up to date, and so it can pass back, you know, on that, it can keep, you know, in successive conversations, it'll have an e-tag from the server, and so it passes that back, and the server can actually figure out efficiently, you know, what that delta is.
And if the client wants to consume the whole data set, it could just not send that tag and get it.
Exactly. It can go ask for it. Yep.
Okay. I saw that SamRuby had gone ahead and vetted this with the feed validator, and it looks good from that perspective, right?
Sam's actually been super responsive. Yeah, we really appreciate that. He's gone and updated the validator as we've made spec changes, and so he did that again once we changed the 1.0 spec. So yeah, you can actually go and use feedvalidator.org to make sure you've got a valid FeedSync 1.0 feed right now.
Cool. And then Sam was pointing to some pretty detailed comments from James Snell, and in particular, one of the points that he raised was, well, shouldn't this really be a standard at this point? So you know, what do you guys think about that?
That's actually a discussion that we're sort of tossing around on the Atom syntax list right now. And, you know, we're definitely interested in having that conversation. We've really tried to take a pretty open approach to FeedSync and SSE before it, you know, so far. So we've always had that open discussion out on FeedTech. And I will say since, you know, since I've actually started on this earlier this year, we've tried to be more responsive about kind of getting changes out to the community and taking feedback. And so you can go back and kind of see the list of, you know, sort of detailed points that we've had discussion on. But I definitely recognize that, you know, there's value in making this an actual broader standard than just coming from Microsoft. And so I think that really depends on finding, you know, a good working group of folks to kind of go and put it together. But that's a discussion we definitely would be interested in having.
Right. We can just sort of use our imaginations here to think of some ways that this could be used. One of the things that, because I've just been looking into OpenSearch recently for another reason, one of the things that occurs to me is that, well, when you reapply a search, you know, that maybe you could think about getting the delta, right? Like the things that weren't in the last result set that you got would be, I mean, just, you know, would be just one example. But it'd be kind of useful to, you know, spin out some of the things that you've thought of, right, to just paint the picture of, you know, because this is obviously an extremely general mechanism, and so, you know, it's useful to kind of just suggest, right, what are some of the kinds of things that you could do with it.
Definitely. It is, you know, I think the powerful thing about it is that it is a very general mechanism, but you're right, it helps to kind of have some more concrete examples when you're thinking about, you know, what can I do with this?
Are there ones out there from the sort of current history with SSE that are noteworthy?
So I think, you know, one of the interesting ones that I'll try to actually post more info about is the one that the Ted Okada and the MHS team have been working on.
Yeah.
And it's basically, you know, they wanted to be able to synchronize databases, but do it in a way, you know, handle kind of the multi-master aspect, and also do it in a way so that the format that was being synchronized was easy to consume by anybody. And so they have this example where, you know, they have databases that are geographically separate, and it's actually, you know, the communication lines are kind of challenging. It's not in the U.S. And so, you know, they basically wanted to, you know, have a way to connect those two endpoints.
And this is like in Afghanistan or something, right?
This is
or
in
Kabul.
Afghanistan, actually, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. It's from Kabul to kind of the north, I think.
Yeah.
Somewhere in the north of the country. And, yeah, so they basically, they're able to use FeedSync. We had a team over here that built some adapters, basically. So you can take the Access database and basically convert it, or, you know, convert the delta of changes into a feed, and then you can pass that feed in any number of ways to the other endpoint. So it could be, right now they're actually using a relay server that we've built, so they can, you know, both ends don't have to be online at the same time. They can kind of just push up the changes to the relay.
Yeah.
The other one can pick them up and then, you know, repeat the cycle.
And where does that adapter sit in the stack? Is it talking straight to Access, or is it talking at a more abstract layer that, you know, you could swap in other databases underneath of?
We've actually tried to be a fairly general, but it's a little bit pluggable, but the piece that talks to Access is just talking directly to Access.
Is that piece available, by the way?
We're working on that, actually. Yeah, it's a little bit rough right now, so we're trying to kind of scrub it and make that available as soon as we can.
So that would sort of become the leading example of something that somebody could get their hands on and, you know, build something kind of interesting.
Yeah, that's an actual working example that's working today. Yeah. And again, the interesting thing is that because the discussion, because the format of the discussion is FeedSync, they can take, you know, if they want to plug in something else at any point, they can actually plug in a completely different, you know, consumer, and it's still pretty easy to pick up that data.
Well, yeah, that's one of these open-ended possibilities. Have you seen any examples of that where you have kind of, you know, heterogeneous data sources that are being merged in through, you know, multiple feeds converging on a you know, combiner?
That is something that we're still, you know, we don't have a real-world example of that yet, but that's definitely something that we're, you know, interested in working on. And that's actually an example. You were asking about the kind of the kinds of scenarios that we envision, and that's one that I didn't get to mention, which is more of the sort of the publish and subscribe or publish and aggregate and republish scenario.
Yeah.
FeedSync is interesting. Even if you don't want to do two-way sync, it's interesting, again, as kind of a reliable pub-sub mechanism. So if you want to publish information and just make sure that people actually get this information that you publish, and if you delete something, if you want them to actually delete it on their end, you know, it's a really good way to have that conversation too.
Yeah, yeah. In fact, I was, you know, there's a Live Labs service called Listus now.
Yeah.
And it would be, it's a perfect candidate for this treatment. It actually, I discovered doesn't do this yet, but it would be a great thing for it, right? So I edit my list and maybe I delete some items and, you know, you sync that, or I add items, or, you know, we go two-way, right? It would be, that would be a really cool thing.
Yep. Yeah, I'm looking forward to having that discussion with them.
Yeah.
I think, you know, the way maybe just that I sort of try to wrap it up really is that, you know, in terms of thinking about the big picture, it's tough because we're trying to approach different angles at once, and so we come out with a lot of technical details because there's a lot of folks who are interested in those.
Yeah.
I think that the thing that's good to sort of wrap your head around it is just that, again, kind of coming back to the software plus services angle, really, you know, synchronization is just a key aspect of delivering, you know, that best of online and offline experience to people.
Yeah.
And I think the thing that is fairly concrete for people today is that a lot of people now have that experience with email where, you know, you have a server in the sky somewhere and you have a client, maybe it's Outlook or something like that, that's caching on your laptop, mm-hmm. you have a phone, and so everything tends to kind of flow, you know. And I think the thing to realize is that that's very cool, but all of those solutions for email tend to be, you know, they tend to be custom solutions right now. We're sort of in that state where it can be done, but everybody kind of does it over again, you know, for every new system.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my email system probably uses a different mechanism than yours does, and so on and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's really where we see kind of FeedSync providing value, is it's that common, you know, it's that common infrastructure for synchronization so that you have the sort of the universal accessibility. It's just a feed, basically.
Yeah. Enabling heterogeneous scenarios to occur.
Exactly. And so, you know, you can actually have interop between different services, different vendors, different platforms, all that stuff. But you have this common foundation for providing that kind of cool sync everywhere, you know, great offline, online experience.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That sounds good. Thanks, Stephen. I will especially be looking forward to interesting new implementations, which I think are going to start to pick up steam, it sounds like.
That's what we hope.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks very much, man.
Thanks, John.